My name is John Arelli. I'm the senior pastor here, and I'm so glad to be with you on Christmas Eve, this day that we get to celebrate Jesus. Now, we get to celebrate Jesus all the other days too, but this is one of those days where we get to celebrate that Jesus is here. He was born. He's interfered. He's interceded. He's broken through for us, and we're so excited to be able to celebrate that in this Christmas season. I'm excited to be with those who are visiting today. Thank you for visiting. And welcome for all those who call Mission Vineyard their home church. Because we're such a young church, we're often not the church that people come home to for Christmas. There's usually a diaspora that goes out into the other churches with older family members, but I'm glad that you're here today. Specifically, for those of you who feel distant from God today, I want to say welcome. Today is for you. Christmas is for you. Christmas is for those who feel distant from God, the ones that have no expectation at all. In fact, there's a couple of words. There are people that were praying this morning. And as we were praying this morning, we're trying to listen to God. Who is it that you want us to pray for this morning? And specifically, it was for that God has hope and favor to give to those who feel dead inside, those who feel far away from God. He wants to speak life into dry bones. He's going to give a present, gifts to you today. For those of you who don't feel like you're going to get anything for Christmas, well, God wants to give you himself today, and more than that. We're excited. Whoever you are, I want you to know that this morning was made for you. God has set a moment aside this morning. You're here this morning, setting this time aside, and God has noticed that. He's noticing that you're here. He's noticing that he's set this moment apart for you to experience him on this Christmas Eve. There could not be a more important place to say that we are celebrating Jesus today. For me, I know last year, Arlita and I, we got to travel, so we weren't here present for Christmas. We were in New England with family, and last year we felt like we got a lot more done, even though we left a lot earlier. I don't know how many of you have felt busy this season trying to figure out what to do if you see yourself in Fred or whoever it was on the cartoon screen. But today, I would like us to settle down and just recognize Jesus, the center of it all. If there's a baby in the back, if I held her right now, she'd be all over the place, but you would all be centered on her. Jesus is the center for us today. This Christmas Eve allows us to put aside all the busyness and take a deep breath. In fact, would you take a deep breath with me this morning? Christmas is here. Now, there may be those of you who are going and rushing about this afternoon. I know there's some of you who are flying across the country, but Christmas is here. Christmas is when we celebrate Jesus born, God in the flesh, in ways that we can't understand. God presented himself as a baby, vulnerable, humble, so that somehow through his life, his death and resurrection, our own vulnerability and hurt could be intimately wrapped up with him, with God himself. And that's so that we can be made whole and full and complete. That's the way we're supposed to be. We're not supposed to feel broken. We're not supposed to feel empty. With God, his intention for us in creation is to be filled up with him, to know him and let everything else fall to the side, that we would be satisfied in just being with him, especially for those of you who today feel far off. I'm wondering when to tell a story today. I have a friend of mine. I'm going to call her Joan because that's what they call random people, I think. Joan had gone through a very, very hard time. She was abused by her parents. Her parents were drug abusers. She wanted me to tell her story today because over the last months, she's had a completely changed life. Joan had no hope. She was far off. Her parents may have gone to Christmas services or Easter services, but Joan, for the most part, didn't know God at all. Because her parents did drugs and because she was beaten pretty often, she started using drugs. And so her teenage life was full and concentrated on just surviving. Alcohol, drugs, fight back when her dad tried to beat her up. That was her life. Well, time after time, she had finally ended up in jail. She went through a season of rehab and jail and rehab and jail and rehab and jail. And finally, she came to this moment. It was a couple of months ago where in one of the rehabs, one of the people that was in charge of the rehab said, "You know, I think there's something missing. I know you've been feeling far off, but I also know that there's this God who loves you no matter where you've been or where you're going. Would you receive him today?" And in that time in her life, she had plenty of opportunities to do before. She had been in plenty of church services. But for some reason, there was something that went on in her life that at that moment, she made a decision. She said, "Yes, I want to follow Jesus." Now, it just so happened that she was able to start attending church in that rehab. And in that church service, she said she got to know God in better ways than she ever had before. There was something about the church that was different. I don't know. But it's, for some reason, she felt alive. And that life began to breathe new life, even though she was far off, even though she, out of anybody in the world, probably had the least chances of having an intersection with God. See, she certainly hadn't done her own duty to get close. And why would she? She was a teenager. But at some point, somebody offered to her a way, even though she was far off, to come closer. She couldn't be here today, but she wanted you to know. She said, "John, tell my story. I want this story to be known, that anybody who's feeling far off gets to know who God is. And when God gets to intersect with their life can be completely changed." Well, beyond Joan's story, I want to share with you from the scriptures what Jesus did in history to do the exact same thing for all of us. This is Luke chapter 2, verse 1. "And at that time, a decree was issued by Augustus Caesar. The whole world was to be registered. This was the first registration before the one when Quirinius was governor of Syria. So everyone set off to be registered, each of their own town. Joseph, too, who belonged to the house and family of David, went from Nazareth in Galilee to Bethlehem in Judea, David's city, to be registered with his fiancée, Mary, who was pregnant. So that's where they were when the time came to be for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her son, her firstborn. She wrapped him up, put him to rest in a feeding trough because there was no room for them in the normal living quarters. There were shepherds in that region out in the open, keeping a night watch around their flock. An angel of the Lord stood in front of them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. 'Don't be afraid,' the angel said to them. 'Look, I've got good news for you, news which will make everyone very happy. Today, a Savior has been born to you, the Messiah, the Lord. In David's town, this will be the sign for you. You'll find the baby wrapped up and lying in a feeding trough.' Suddenly, with the angel, there was a crowd of the heavenly armies singing, 'Fa la 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 la.'" No, they weren't. "Suddenly, with the angel, there was a crowd in the heavenly armies. They were praising God, saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and peace upon the earth among those in his favor.' So when the angels had gone away again into the heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Well, let's go. Let's go to Bethlehem and see what it's all about. All this that the Lord has told us.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the feeding trough. When they saw it, they told them what had been said to them about this child. And all the people who heard it were amazed at the things the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and mused over them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them." Now, you can hear in this story, there's obviously something special going on. It's not just that shepherds are alone out in the field. It's not just that somebody's having a baby. Beyond just a normal pregnancy and birth, there's something special. God wanted to announce before all of this, earlier on, the angels had told Mary and Joseph what was happening, that they didn't have to be afraid, even if Joseph's family made Joseph and Mary give birth to Jesus in the family animal feeding area. They were given notice that this thing was special. Whatever the journey that you're going to go upon, whatever the tough situation that you're going to face, God has an undercurrent of something special going on. He interceded. He showed angels. He had the Lord, the angel armies, to come and say, hey, what's happening in your life is unique because Jesus is coming. And no matter what hurdles you have to face, God is in the middle of it and he's going to face it with you. Shepherds know what a feeding area is. So while it was difficult for Joseph and Mary to get forced out of the family home into the basement or whatever the feeding area was for the family animals, for God's purpose, the shepherds knew exactly what that was all about. And so when they were told, hey, this Savior will be in a feeding trough, they went, that's weird. But let's go. And wouldn't you know it? What was a difficult circumstance for Joseph and Mary became the sign for those who were far off. What was difficult for Joseph and Mary became a sign for those who were far off. That's what Christmas is for us. It's not normally special, this life. It's not normally clean, and neither is birth. And yet, this is where angels announced that the king of the universe would be found. If it were a Roman king, they would have found the baby in some political house, some powerful place. If he was going to be the Jewish super religious person that they always expected, then you would have found Jesus in the temple. But he wasn't found there. He wasn't found among the political people. He was found among a place that the outsiders would recognize. The Savior of all, not born inside the walls of political stuff, not born inside the walls of religious hierarchy, born literally outside the walls of Jerusalem. Born in a place where outsiders could find him. Why did God, through all of this complicated work of entering into the world as a human being, make sure to send a message to a small group on the outside of the religious and political circles? Why send angels to outcasts who would otherwise care less? You see, you would have thought if shepherds really had any interest in faith, they would have gone to the temple. If shepherds would have had any interest in creating a new kingdom that was better for people, they would have gotten involved with politics. So why would Jesus go to them? They didn't do anything to help Jesus beforehand. No, they didn't. And why should they? And why should we? So many of us are so distracted by religious language and religious stuff that goes on, that you're here today in a church is a miracle in itself. You have broken through all of the minutiae of social networks and media and 24-hour news and said, I don't care about that stuff. I want Jesus. Well, nobody was offering that when Jesus came into the world. And so he did it himself. He went outside of all those circles, broke through all the distractions, and said, hey, I'm for you. I've come close. Come close to me. Come close to me. About 10 years ago, I had my own language barriers. Some of you have had language barriers when it comes to faith. Some of you have had other barriers in your life where there was someone that was frustrating to you. You didn't want to engage in faith because it was just too difficult. Well, I had my own language barrier. It didn't have to do with faith. It had to do with food. Christmas 10 years ago, we got the wonderful gift of celebrating our first child's first Christmas in Germany. Gabriella was born. She was about 8 months old. Well, it just so happened that our favorite sister-in-law, delete that from the recording, Our favorite sister-in-law, Kristen, had just moved to Germany. And so we thought, well, it's Kristen's first Christmas in Germany. It's Gabriella's first Christmas. Let's do it together. And so we navigated flights. We took a long delay in Paris. So we practiced bad French getting around in Paris. We got back on the plane, and Gabri was all throwing up all over the place because of antibiotics she had. But we got to Munich finally and thankfully settled in nicely with Kristen, who is just generous and wonderful and an excellent translator of German. So we didn't have any problems there. But because she's such an amazing sister-in-law, she said, hey, you guys don't get to date too much now with this new kid. How about you guys go out on a date in Germany, even though you don't know German? And we didn't care because we wanted a date. And so we said, sure, favorite sister-in-law, take our child. She will survive as long as she survives. That's fine. And Arlita and I went out into the streets of Munich to where there wasn't much open. If you know anything about Germany, most things close down around this time of year. But we found this restaurant, and it happened to be an Italian restaurant, which for me boded well. My hope was I can speak a little bit of Italian, and so I'll be able to navigate at least the menu okay. Except no, it didn't work out that well. So we sat down. And the waiter spoke in German, and I said, we're Americans, and I speak a little of Italian, which for him gave him the sense of confidence that, oh, I can just speak Italian. And he went and left me far behind in his speed and in his accent. I had no idea what he was saying. And so finally, trying to navigate the situation, I looked at the menu, and I pointed and asked a question, which to him, I think, sounded like, I would like to eat a Ferrari. I'm not quite sure what happened after that, except that we dealt with a lot of blank stares and confusion. He shook my hand, and he left the table. And I wasn't sure if we had ordered food or if we had taken ourselves out of the picture completely. And so I just kind of looked at my wife, feeling so sorry that I haven't navigated this well. This was a date. I should have been leading. I should have read books on German so that we could have done this. But it was spur of the moment, and we just tried to figure out, and we laughed about it, and food came, wouldn't you know? It wasn't what we thought, and that was fine. How many times has this been your story with faith? Where you don't know the language, you're distracted by everything else that's going around. Maybe the person that's telling you about faith is speaking in a completely different language at a speed you don't get. Maybe they've got expectations of what you would know or what team you would be on for you to say, oh yeah, I think I like Jesus. And then they go, well, this political thing and this territory and this denomination is the best. And they just expect you to go around with it and go, yeah, okay. And you're just kind of wide-eyed going, I don't know what's going on. I just wanted Jesus. It's difficult. It's difficult to navigate today, even getting to him anymore. Even for those of you who follow him intentionally, it's difficult to navigate, to find him anymore because of all the distractions. I had a friend call me. She sent me a text, actually. It was the saddest thing. She said, John, I'm done. I don't want to be associated with Christianity anymore. It's so messy. And the ones that call themselves Christian are so horrible. I'm done. Wherever you're coming from today, if you are far off, if you're being distracted, wherever you are, I want to let you know, even if I'm distracting, even if this church gets in the way, even if you find rude people, even if the Bible's hard to read, whatever it is, Jesus is worth running to. There will always be distractions. There will always be frustrations. There will always be people that expect things of you and you have no idea what they're talking about. The Bible will always be hard to read. It'll always be a walk of faith. But Jesus is worth it. And I promise you today, if there's anything from Christmas that I want you to know, Jesus will run towards you more than you could ever run towards Him. He broke into the world for us, to find us, to break through all the political and religious laws, to break through all the boundaries and say, I'm for you. And I will make a way so that you understand my heart, even if I have to be born in a feeding trough for shepherds. Maybe you have lost hope that you could have ever experienced faith. Well, I want to let you know that this church is willing to walk with you wherever you're coming from. If you've got hope, if you have found Jesus, then woohoo, let's run together. If you're confused about what the scripture looks like, then let's go, let's dig in. Jesus is worth it. If you need to filter out all the distractions, if you need to deal with them intentionally, then let's do it. Let's work through them. Let's ask the hard questions of what's going on. Let's journey together because Jesus is worth it. Did you catch how the angels put it? It's news that will make everyone happy. But in order for that news to get out, it had to go through to people who were left out in the first place. You see, it's you who Jesus wants to share His story with so that you would share the story with others just like you. Your story is being lived out in so many ways all over this world. People distracted, people with no hope, but they're not here today because they've lost hope even worse than you. You then get to be the special ones that Jesus gets to communicate with. And in a tone and in a manner that only Jesus could do. I want to share with you this scripture. This is Philippians 2, 5. This is how you should think amongst yourselves. With this in mind that you have become, with the mind that you have because you belong to the Messiah Jesus, who, through God's form, did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped, to exploit. Instead, He emptied Himself and received the form of a slave, being born in the likeness of humans. And then, having human appearance, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. And so God has greatly exalted Him, and to Him, in His favor, has given Him the name which is above every name, that now at the name of Jesus, every knee under heaven shall bow, on the earth too, and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus the Messiah is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This manner that Jesus wants to take with us isn't one of pushing you around, isn't one of putting up boundaries, isn't one of putting up borders, isn't one of asking you to take on a weight that you were never meant to carry. It's of Him coming to earth and humbling Himself and calling us to that same humility for the sake of getting this message out to the world that He has come close, that He wants to reach us wherever we are. If the real Jesus were here for you, what would you do? How would you respond? If there was someone in front of you right now telling you that Jesus was real and here, and He wanted to make you make sure that you heard the news today, what would you do? What if God was doing that for you today? Some of you here identify with the shepherds. If we're honest about our journey of faith, there are times that all of us feel like outsiders. Some of us feel like failures. We sin, we fall apart. We're not as strong as we think we are. We cry. I'm thankful for the babies that show us how we really are. What if God's special intention as Jesus was to make you know that you are welcome? What if He was running to you right now? Well, I know that there's some of you who need to hear that Jesus is running to you. I know my friend Joan needed to hear that. It was at her bedside, actually. She had overdosed and she had gone into a coma. And at that moment, she could for 3 days, not be able to say anything, but she could hear. And finally, her dad came to her bedside, and she didn't expect much from him. But in a breath prayer, he said, "God, please don't take my baby." And at that moment, power broke over her. And she had enough strength in the midst of her coma to wipe her tears. And so she wiped her tear. And at that moment, God came near, not just to her, but to her whole family. And things began to change. Her family stopped doing drugs. She got into a good rehab. And while she continues to go through hurdles and ups and downs, I know that she's on a path towards closer relationship with Jesus. What if God was intervening in your life just like that today? How would you respond to Jesus? Would you come to Him? He has come to us. Would you stand with me, please? I'd like for you to respond to this love, to this reaching out to you that God has done to us. In a simple response that's on the screen, I want to take some time with it too. If you would, repeat after me this simple prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, I am sorry for the things that I've done wrong in my life. And would you just take a few moments, in all those ways that you have been made distant from God, would you just bring them to Him? Would you just show Him? He wants to see them. He wants to deal with them, whatever they are. And if you would, repeat after me. Please forgive me. I now turn from everything which I know is wrong. Thank you that you died on the cross for me so I could be forgiven and set free.
Thank you that you died on the cross for me so that I could be forgiven and set free.
Thank you that you offer me forgiveness and the gift of your Spirit.
Thank you that you offer me forgiveness and the gift of your Spirit.
I now receive that gift.
I now receive that gift.
Please come into my life.
Please come into my life.
By your Holy Spirit. To be with me forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. If you have made that commitment for the first time, or you are journeying back in response for the first time in a while, we would love to pray for you this morning. If the words on the screen before, for those who were praying for, spoke to you, we have prayer teams available this morning to pray for any emotional, physical, or spiritual need you have. If you've made a commitment this morning, please come and see one of the prayer teams. They'll be off in the corner here by this Christmas tree waiting for you, trained to receive you this morning for any need you have. We also have a table available to you while we sing Silent Night, that you would come forward and receive this body and blood of Jesus in a mysterious way. And for that, I want to prepare us this scripture from 1 Corinthians. There's a writer, his name is Paul, and he writes, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord.'" And so we ask that those who come to receive the cup and the body of the Lord would come knowing that he is your Savior. Please don't do anything religious this morning for the sake of religion. There's no barrier to you this morning if you come from any church background, whatever it is. This table is for people who come near to Jesus. So come this morning as we sing one last song. I'm going to ask the prayer teams and the worship teams to come and receive first so that they'll be prepared for you. And then as you come after receiving, we have candles for you this morning that we would sing together by candlelight, Silent Night. Would you come?